there. This is Lon Solomon, and I'd like to welcome you to our program today. You know, it's a tremendous honor that God has given us to be on stations all around the nation, bringing the truth of God's Word as it is, uncompromising and straightforward. And I'm so glad you've tuned in to listen and be part of that. Thanks again for your support and your generosity that keeps us on the radio. And now, let's get to the Word of God.
Temptation. Even the word sounds a little ominous. What does temptation mean? Well, it means being enticed. It means being enticed to do something that you know you're going to regret in the morning. For me, I have to be honest and tell you my greatest temptation in life every day is overeating. You see, I grew up in a very dysfunctional home, and I learned that the way to deal with my pain growing up was to eat it away. Well, listen, whether it's food or alcohol or pornography or drugs or sex or lust or gossip or spending too much money shopping, whatever, every one of us is in mortal combat with our own personal set of temptations each and every day. Well, this is what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about temptation and about the weapons that God has given us as followers of Christ to fight against those temptations so that we win the battle a lot more than we lose it. Remember, we're in a series entitled People Jesus Met, and today we're going to look at Jesus' personal meeting with Satan himself as Satan tries to tempt the Lord Jesus into sin. Here we go, Matthew chapter 4. The Bible says then, that is after Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist, then Jesus was led by the Spirit, don't miss that, by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, those of you who've been to Israel with me, you know where this area is that the Bible's talking about. It's called the Judean wilderness. It's that arid, parched, jagged desert that lies between the Dead Sea and Jerusalem. This is the area where David, for example, hid for 7 years from King Saul. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit led Jesus out into this wilderness to go without food for 40 days and 40 nights and to be tempted by the devil himself. Now, we should stop now and ask the question, why? That is, why was the devil trying to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ into sinning? And the answer is that if Satan could get the Lord Jesus to commit even one sin, he knew that he could extinguish God's plan of salvation for the human race once and for all. Let me explain. Friends, you see, God's plan of salvation for the human race is based on the principle of substitutionary atonement. Substitutionary atonement simply means that God is willing to let a substitute atone for your sin and my sin and the sin of the world. But the one condition here that is non-negotiable is that this substitute has to be perfect, has to be sinless. And the reason for that is because God's justice cannot allow someone to pay our death penalty for sin if that person owes their very own death penalty for sin. And therefore, the only way that a person could be our substitute is to owe no death penalty, and the only way to owe no death penalty for sin is to have never sinned in your life, ever. And so if Jesus was to be our atoning substitute, if he was to bear our sins on the cross and pay for them on the cross, it is absolutely essential that he had to have no sin, that he had to be sinless and perfect. This is why 1 Peter chapter 1 says that you were not redeemed from your empty way of life by perishable things like silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. One sin on Jesus' part, and the entire plan of salvation for the human race goes up in smoke, and the devil knew it. Verse 2, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry. Then the tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. The first temptation that the devil challenged Jesus with was he challenged him to do a miracle and turn the stones out in the desert into bread and to use that bread to satisfy his physical hunger. Now, folks, there's nothing wrong with making bread. And there's nothing wrong with using it to satisfy our physical hunger. But you see, there was much more going on here than just that. Remember, the Bible says Jesus had been led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. In other words, it was God's will that Jesus was going without food at this point in his life. And therefore, what the devil was really tempting Jesus to do was to take matters into his own hands and to assert his own independent will for his life in opposition to God's will for his life. Now, this is one of the most common ways in which Satan tempts us as human beings even today. I mean, look, we all have the natural desire for intimacy and sex and money and material things and human success. And folks, there's nothing wrong with these desires so long as we satisfy them within the confines of God's will for our life. But what Satan was tempting Jesus to do, and what he often tempts us to do, was to satisfy our physical desires, for Jesus to satisfy his physical desires outside of God's will for his life, which is disobedience to God, and which is sin. And Jesus answered, verse 4, and said, "It is written," Deuteronomy chapter 8, "Man shall not live by bread alone, Satan, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Look how Jesus counteracted Satan's attack, Satan's temptation. He said, "It is written." He threw scripture at the devil's temptation, and he said, "You know what, Satan? It is better to be hungry in the will of God than it is to be satisfied outside of the will of God." He fought it off by using the word of God. "It is written." Verse 5. Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city, that is Jerusalem, and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written." Stop. Would you notice Satan knows the Bible? Would you notice that? Would you notice Satan knows how to quote the Bible? He always quotes the Bible correctly, except that he always applies it wrong. He always distorts it in its application. Watch. He quotes Psalm 91 and says, "He will give his angels charge over you." This is what's written. "And they will bear you up on their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Now, this second temptation that Satan throws at the Lord Jesus is one that appeals to Jesus' pride. He takes Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem, puts him up on the southeast corner of the Temple Mount, commonly called the pinnacle of the temple, looking down at the Kidron Valley 450 feet below. And he says, "All right, Jesus, here's the deal. If you were to jump off of the pinnacle of the temple, and if you were to float down to the ground and just touch down easily and nicely, you'd be front page news. And hey, you deserve this kind of attention." And Jesus answered and said, verse 7, "It is also written." He said, "Yeah, you quoted the scripture, Satan, but you distorted its application. So let me quote a verse back to you that balances it out and gives the correct interpretation. It is also written," Deuteronomy 6, "you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Hey, once again, Satan hits Jesus in an area where we all are vulnerable, our pride, our ego, our desire for attention and preeminence. But once again, the Lord Jesus fought that off by using the same weapon, the word of God. "It is written." Finally, verse 8, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will bow down and worship me." This time in the third temptation, Satan appeals to Jesus' human desire to avoid pain and suffering and hardship. Remember, God had already promised that he was going to give the throne of all the kingdoms to the world to the Lord Jesus. Psalm 2, verse 7, he, that is God the Father, said to me, that is the Lord Jesus, you are my son. Ask of me and I will surely give you the nations as your inheritance and the ends of the earth as your possession. See, Jesus was already promised the thrones of all the earth. It's just that the way to the throne for Jesus in God's will was by way of the cross. You understand? And we know from the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus was not looking forward to the physical pain and the spiritual pain of the cross. Luke 22. Father, Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, if there's any way this cup, meaning the cross, can pass from me, let it pass. So here comes Satan now with a tempting offer. He says, hey, Jesus, how about if I get you to the same bottom line that God said he'd get you to? I'll get you to the throne of every kingdom on the earth, but I can do it without the cross. I can do it without the suffering. I mean, we can skip the cross. We can skip the plan of salvation. And I can get you to the bottom line just the same. Now look, as human beings, we all want to go around pain in life. But when we want to do this so badly that we will reject God's plan for our life in order to do it, well, that's a problem because that's sin. And that's what Satan was offering Jesus. Verse 10, then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan. For it is written, Deuteronomy 6, you shall worship the Lord your God, and you shall serve him alone. Again, Jesus counteracted Satan's temptation the same way, it is written. And then the devil left him, verse 11, and behold, the angels came and ministered to Jesus. Now, that's as far as we want to go in our passage today with the encounter of Satan and Jesus together. Because what we want to do now is stop and ask our most important question. And you know what our question is, so come on now. Here we go. One, two, three.
So what?
Yeah. You say, Lon, so what? Say, all right, I appreciate that. He said, by the way, Lon, do you actually believe there really is a devil? Of course. You don't? Hey, what's wrong with you? Of course there is. The Bible's clear about that, that there's a personal being called Satan, and he and Jesus were in mortal combat right here. Of course I believe that. You say, okay, so that's a wonderful story we just had, an incident, but what difference does this really make to helping me overcome my daily temptations? Well, I'm happy to tell you about that. The Bible says, James chapter 4, verse 7, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the question is, how did Jesus resist the devil so that the devil did indeed flee from him? Well, the answer is Jesus threw scripture in his face. To be more specific, when faced with temptation, the Lord Jesus found a verse of scripture that applied to that specific temptation, and then he quoted that verse to himself and to the devil and to the temptation. He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. The point is that as followers of Christ, folks, in fighting our temptations, so often we try to use the wrong weapons. And we get absolutely murdered out there. Why? Because human grit, human determination, human willpower, these are not the weapons that God has given us as followers of Christ to fight temptation with. Folks, listen to me. The energy of the flesh cannot defeat the power of the flesh. Let me repeat that. The energy of the flesh, human willpower, human grit, human determination cannot defeat the power of the flesh. Nor can it defeat the temptations of the devil. The great news of the Bible is that God has given us weapons that will work against both the power of the flesh and the temptations of the devil. And right here in Matthew chapter 4, the Lord Jesus illustrates what those weapons are and how to use them. This is why the Bible says, Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Ooh, look here. Ooh, look. the temptations of the devil. And what are these weapons? Well, Paul lists them, but the only offensive weapon in the entire list, verse 17 of Ephesians 6, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Scripture. This is why Hebrews chapter 4 says, verse 12, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." And this is why, finally, I love what the Apostle Paul said, 2 Corinthians 10. He said, verse 3, "For though we live in the flesh, we as followers of Christ do not wage war according to the flesh, for the weapons we have to fight with are not weapons of the flesh." Human grit, human determination, human willpower. "On the contrary," he says, "our weapons have divine power." You say, "All right, Lon, I got what you're saying. I understand the point. But can you make this practical for me? I mean, how do I actually do this, huh, in everyday life?" Well, we do it just like the Lord Jesus did it. We figure out the areas of our life where we're facing the greatest temptations in life, and then we go to the Bible. And we find verses in the Bible that speak to those specific areas of temptation. And then we memorize those verses. And finally, when we're tempted in those areas, we pull those verses out and we quote them at the temptation. We quote them to ourselves. We quote them at the devil. And we say, "No, it is written, it is written, it is written." Listen, you will be amazed at the kind of power you'll have to fight off your worst temptations when you will fight them with the spiritual weapons that God has given us to fight with. So let's take a couple examples. Let's say lust is one of your besetting problems and temptations. Well, how about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3? The Bible says it is God's will that each of us should know how to control our own body in a way that is holy and honorable, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Now, you memorize that verse of Scripture, and then you try quoting it at pay-per-view 10 times in a row before you order that movie. How about fear? Let's say fear is a real problem for us. Well, Isaiah 43 says, God says, "Do not fear. When you pass through the deep waters, I will be with you. They will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor will the flames scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, and you are precious in my sight." You know, when God sent Jill, my disabled daughter, into our life 17 years ago, this was the verse of Scripture that he gave Brenda and me. And so many days when we've looked forward and had fear about what the future holds, or even fear about what the present holds, we have pulled this verse out and held on to this verse. And you know what? Fear melts away when you say, "It is written, do not fear." How about gossip and speaking ill of people? Well, I would recommend you memorize Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. "Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only what is good for building people up, so that what you say may impart grace to others." Try saying that 5 times over before you say what you were thinking about saying, and I'll bet you probably won't say it about that other person. Or laziness. You hate your job. You're tempted to cut corners at work. Colossians 3:23, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, for it is the Lord Christ, not men, that you serve." Boy, that'll make your work ethic change a little bit. Quote that during the day. You say, "But Lon, I understand what you're saying, but what if I can't find a verse of Scripture for the particular sin that I'm struggling with?" Well, then I've got a generic verse for everyone. This works for everyone. 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ," as followers of Christ, "that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done in our bodies, whether good or bad." The Bible says here that we're going to have a performance review when we get to heaven as followers of Christ. Now, what you did before you came to Christ is under the blood. You're never going to see that again. But what you and I have done since we've come to Christ, the Lord Jesus is going to rewind our tape back to the day we came to Christ when we get to heaven, and we're going to watch it together with Him again. You know what? If you're standing there thinking about doing something you know you shouldn't ought to do, you try reminding yourself of this verse. You're going to see this again, standing next to the living Christ. All of a sudden, I'll tell you, a lot of those things that you're thinking about doing, I'm thinking about doing, lose their thrill real quick if we realize we're going to see this again. You say, I don't know, Lon. It all sounds way too simple. Well, it's simple. I agree. But it works. It's God's way. It's what the Lord Jesus used. So you've got two choices. You can continue to use your complicated plan and keep getting whooped, or you can use God's simple plan and you can have success. God's plan is meant to be simple because He means even little children to be able to use it. So let's conclude. What have we learned today? Well, we've learned that if we will fight off our temptations with the sword of the Spirit, with the Word of God, with a steady stream of it is written, it is written, it is written, we'll do a whole lot better job of resisting temptation than trying to fight it off in the energy of the flesh. We are constantly urging you to be in the Scriptures, to read the Scriptures, to study the Scriptures, to meditate on the Scriptures, and most importantly, to memorize the Scripture, because friends, you can't quote Scripture and throw Scripture at a temptation that you don't know. This is why Psalm 119 says, "Your word, David says, I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And would you notice out there in the wilderness, the Lord Jesus quoted at Satan Deuteronomy 8 once and Deuteronomy 6 twice. He had those verses when he needed it. And so, here's my challenge to you. My challenge to you is to start memorizing Scripture. You know, when I came to Christ out of a very rough background, I often had people ask me, how did it change life? How did your life flip so dramatically? And you want to know the answer? The man who led me to Christ, Bob Eckhart, he challenged me and taught me to memorize Scripture. By the time I was 6 months old in the Lord, I had memorized 600 verses of Scripture. You want to know why my life changed so dramatically? I'll tell you why. It's because I hid a bunch of it in my heart. Psalm 119. And friends, if you want your Christian experience to be transformational the way the Bible says that it should be, let me tell you how to speed that process up. You start memorizing Scripture and putting it into your heart, and that process will speed up by manifold times. So here's my challenge, and I'm done. I'd like to challenge every one of us here to memorize one verse of the Bible a week. One verse a week, particularly those that start with the temptations you're facing, so that you've got them on your fingertips when you need them. And if we want to speed up the transformation of our Christian lives, this is how we do it. Let's pray together. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'd like to ask you, if you were willing to take me up on this commitment, this challenge, and with God's help start memorizing a verse of Scripture a week to hide the Word of God in their hearts. And Father, I pray you would challenge all of us to understand the importance of memorizing Scripture, hiding God's Word in our heart that we might not sin against you. Lord Jesus, thank you for the Word of God that is living and active and powerful. Help us use it as the weapon that you created it to be, to resist temptation. Help us fight every day, Lord, with a steady stream of, it is written, it is written, it is written. And thank you, Father, when we do that, you've told us the power the Lord Jesus had against Satan will be power that we will find welling up inside of us when we fight with the right weapons. Lord, change our lives because we were here today, and fortify us for the fight we have every day to live for Christ and honor you with our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen.
You've been listening to So What with Dr. Lon Solomon. So What is an outreach of Lon Solomon Ministries. To listen to today's message or for more information, visit our website, LonSolomonMinistries.org. Thank you for your support. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website or call us at 866-788-7000. 7770. We hope you will join us next time when Lon seeks to answer one of life's most important questions, so what?